Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted host, and I'm here with a very special guest, Andy Choi. Why don't you give yourself an introduction and give us a good reason to listen to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have a lot to say, that's why. But Jeremy, nice to meet you, man. Excited for this chat. I love unscripted stuff, and I think to answer your question, I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Do Good. Where we are a social enterprise comprising of both a 501c3 foundation and a for-profit technology company. And at the core of everything that we build and believe in is what we call profit with purpose. So when I say I have a lot to say, I think the narrative around what it means to believe in capitalism and participate in it, like all of us do, but to do it with purpose. And how we're doing that is something I would love to share more with, and I think it's something more people should learn more about and join the discussion in, right? So every opportunity I get to share that message with others and to build dialogue is what, like, that's why I exist, right? And why our company exists. So excited to be here.
Fantastic. I forking out of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center was the first time that I'd encountered something called a social alliance or a B Corp. And for a long time in my own personal history, I worked in a very corporate job at Homes.com, and they've been bought by, Dominion Enterprises, and thought that its percent raise annually was generous. So my view of corporate life and corporations was very dim. But being in that entrepreneur center, a B Corp was introduced as, hey, you don't have to have an article of incorporation that says extract every ounce of profit from every scenario and treat everybody awful. The only bottom line is the dollar. It doesn't have to be that way. We choose for it to be that way, largely through ignorance of, oh, hey, if we let things be how they are, corporations, that's what they say their bottom line is. They're beholden to the stockholders. So why don't we change that document?
Absolutely. And I think there's a shift that's ha already happening in the marketplace, right? So the listeners here, yourself, we're already seeing it, right? Like Gallup did this massive research study of just employees, and it just came out December of last and end of last year, which is just a few months ago. Talking, they called it the Great Detachment. The number of people that are dissatisfied with their job and what they do for a living is astronomical. It's the highest that it's ever been since it's been tracked. And there's this massive disconnect between between people and what they're doing, right? But again, we participate in a capitalistic society. We have to pay our bills. We have to buy groceries. We have Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like whether you like it or not, we are participants in an economy, right? And I, for example, like I like capitalism, and that sounds like a weird statement, but it's like it's a system that works. But I think anything to one point like deters from what it was meant to be, a tool where we work and there's an exchange, but it never came at the cost of humanity. It was the opposite of that. Like capitalism at its purest form was to progress society and the standard of life for every person and every individual, right? But to your point, right, like, and going back to the point of the disconnect, is like when we don't see the purpose of our work and why we're doing what we're doing, and it's coming at the cost of humanity, there, that's where the disconnect is, right? And the research study showed that it's called the Great Detachment because there are two main factors that really drove the dissatisfaction of why people are not happy with their job. One, mismanaged expectations, like. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Like, why am I doing this? Like it's like what do I do that contributes to whatever is happening? There's a huge disconnect there. And then the second aspect of it is like how and what is what I'm doing helping society? And it's just like is if getting people to scroll more, is that going to make society better? Am I, that's what I spend 40 hours a week doing, and I'm supposed to feel good about myself, right? Like, and it's just, again, like to your point, like there's just disconnect. But I think there's a shift in the market. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, I think as far as much as we have veered from the path, like we're redirecting ourselves back, right? And we're seeing a massive opportunity with the next generation who is smarter than ever before, more educated, more aware, right? And it's like really shifting back to like, how do we get back on track, right? How do we put humanity first?
Absolutely. And I see it even in the marketing industry. A lot of, people like me, I know that I've created a lot of wealth for a lot of companies. I've done a lot of consulting over 17 years. I know athomes.com. I know I created a program that in 1 year created $3 million of revenue. Of course, they shorted me on a $3,000 bonus, but then I know that I've created that. But there's also, that's why I've started trying to take some ownership of. I have my own effort to do park cleanups, but combined with SEO and PR to incentivize my clients, hey, go clean up your community and I'll get you more organic traffic, which generates more business. So do some social good in exchange for, the ad revenue that you would have spent somewhere else. Make a difference in the real world, rather than just buy backlinks, from our comment spam.
I love it. I mean, you're essentially promoting our business right now, right? Because we call it profit with purpose. And I think this is the big thing that I would love for people to really take away is that you can have both, right? It's always this idea that it's like, okay, like charity handouts are charity handouts, or let me give back a little bit at the end of the year. It's like, no, there's a way to formulate growth, just like you're talking about marketing and advertising as a form of revenue and growth, right? Like the success of your business doesn't need to come at the cost of, XYZ, but it can come at the benefit of XYZ, right? And like there are certain successful models that, we always kind of allude to, like the Tom shoes, if you remember, like, buy a pair of shoes, give away a pair of shoes, right? They're a $400 million revenue company that went IPO at a multi-billion dollar like evaluation. That model is like it's there, right? Like, and the statistics speak for itself. Gen Z say like 70% of Gen Z say they do not want to associate themselves with a brand that does not reflect their values, right? And also millennials and Gen Z also say they're willing to spend more money with a brand that is socially conscious of their values, right? Whether that's something that's eco and sustainable or a product or a service that gives back somehow, like we are inclined to pay it forward, right? And to utilize that, I think should be used as a way to grow and market and do all of those things. Like it shouldn't be like, oh, I can't use that to capitalize. It's like, but you can sell like things that are harmful to society to grow your business, but like like why not, why can't we think of it the other way around, right?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So you said that you had both a social alliance, a for-profit piece, and a non-profit piece. Let's go ahead and talk about the for-profit piece first.
Yeah.
I feel like it would usually be the way around, but I am curious about that aspect of it. What would you say you do here, Andy, for
Yeah.
money?
Good question.
And
So on the for-profit side, so there are two sides to this coin, right? So let's talk about the for-profit first. The for-profit, again, we drive anything and everything that enables profit with purpose, right? And at the core of all of that, we believe every business, doesn't matter what size, what scale, what product or service, can have a social impact element, right? Why? Because every business is comprised of human beings, right? It doesn't matter if you're a local coffee shop, can you give 1% of your sales back to a food bank in your local area? If you're an airline, can you give back to some local charities? We believe every business can have a social impact element, right? And the way we empower that is through what we call NaaS. Just like SaaS, software as a service, we call it NaaS, nonprofit as a service. How can for-profit businesses take advantage of nonprofit benefits, including tax write-offs, grants, donations, as well as cause marketing, as a way to grow their social impact and their business without having to set up their own nonprofit? So, for example, we offer fiscal sponsorship for every business, meaning that you can take advantage of nonprofit benefits without being a nonprofit and incorporate a social impact element to your business. And this is very common. This is not rocket science. Like, big corporations and enterprise companies already do it. So you look at Google, they have google.org. You look at Microsoft, they have Microsoft Foundation. All these big enterprise companies already do it, and there are major benefits to it because there's kind of tax havens. You get tax write-offs. You get to incorporate other aspects of the social impact element into your business, and we offer that as a service because it's really expensive to do it and it's complicated. Unless you're like some massive company like Google, it's usually not worth the headache of maintaining it. Where we say, okay, well, how do we make that as a service for you? And by doing so, there are other tools and resources we offer as a turnkey solution. So, for example, we have the world's largest API of nonprofit data in the world, where you can access all 1.7 million nonprofits in the United States. We can process donations for all 1.7 million. We can also process donations for for every country in the world and every type of donations, whether it's crypto, planned giving. So, and we don't necessarily build every one of these solutions. We aggregate it in order to make it easy for every business to say, instead of going to 20 different vendors or 100 different charities, we can activate all of that and issue grants, donations, all of it under one umbrella, right? So whether it's Black History Month, Women's International Day, mental health awareness, breast cancer awareness, like, we become a turnkey solution to saying there is no barrier for your business to do good. Right? And then how, more importantly, can we leverage all of these do-good aspects and social impact aspects to grow your business, right? Like, buy a pair of shoes, give away a pair of shoes. Your idea earlier, like, hey, let's do a cleanup and we're going to use that as marketing to drive more traffic to your website, right? Like, those are actual ways to grow your business. So it's not just this charity handout, but it's a growth tactic, right? So your success equals the success and greater impact of the cause that you believe in. But also, let's not forget about your employees, the mission of your company, like the brand reciprocity, the brand equity that it drives. Like, it's very, very clear in today's market. If your brand or your product or business doesn't stand for something, it doesn't stand for anything. And that's like where, like, businesses can no longer stay on the sideline and say, hey, we're not going to participate in that conversation, or we don't stand or do anything. There needs to be something you guys are like, every business is tied to. Right? Because now brands and companies are, they're no longer just a product and a service, they're lifestyles, right? Every product and service is a lifestyle brand now, right? And if you can't participate in that marketplace, the marketplace is saying, we don't want you to be here, right? So, does that answer your question? I know I dumped kind of a lot.
It's a lot, but it's a lot of really good points. I've had multiple conversations, with the head of branding at Wix, Morty Oberstein, talking about how in SEO we're seeing a lot of development of interest in brand within our industry because Google rewarding brands with, easier levels of traffic. And it's easier to prove now, hey, if you increase the number of people that are searching just for your brand, it will actually have a positive impact on the other organic terms that you're trying to rank for. It used to be a game in like 2014 of like, oh, hey, it's a good thing that you got this brand traffic, but we're focused, SEOs are focused just on growing your, organic traffic from non-branded terms. Well, that is falling by the wayside as SEOers are realizing, hey, there's so much more value of is grabbing and holding on to that piece of the marketplace, as one of my guests said. Like, anytime that somebody says your brand name, that's a real world rep of your piece of the marketplace. Anytime somebody sends a text message that contains a brand name, that's a representation of that marketing effort that's captured that piece of the market. So I think this is very clutch in terms of discussion because a lot of digital marketers are kind of looking at what tools that they have, what are the possible ways that they can combine more traditional understood search engine optimization, and you need to build content and build links. Well, it's also about building visibility, building familiarity, and aiming to, you know, talking about people that keep coming back to your site. Why does somebody come back? Well, if they are familiar with your brand and they know that you're doing something quality, like if you're vibing with the mission as much as the product, then that's as much incentive to come back. And next time you need shoes, oh, well, I'll go with the one that gives shoes to people that don't have them, you know, or I'm going to work with the company that is just cleaned up downtown, you know. There's definitely some positive aspects to that. So tell me a little bit about how that ties into the nonprofit side.
Before we do that, I would love to speak a little bit about the points that you just made. Like, absolutely, right? Because, I mean, we're talking brand equity, brand reciprocity. That's the holy grail of branding, right? And I think simple things like, you know, like not simple, but like simple but complicated things like SEO. Like, you, I think one of the biggest untapped market is like the social sector. Like, nonprofit websites have incredible high ranking, right? Like, you know, like you think about backlinks to that, but also like the dynamic content that can come from that as well, right? Like, to your point of like, it's not just directly tied to your product and service, but how is the brand showing up in different dialogues, right? Like, it's this idea, you remember when COVID happened, which seems like forever ago, but it wasn't that long ago, right? And like, everyone was locked in, and then all of a sudden you saw a ton of advertisements that said, you know, XYZ brand says, we're here with you. It's like, you remember, like, all of those commercials just started coming out, and like, people were like, just trashing these brands. They're like, where the hell were you before? you know, oh, you're with us now? Like, you know? But there were also some brands that people were like, yeah, like, they're with, you know what I mean? Like, there are brands that were always about it, you know, like that authenticity, right? Like, and how they showed up and like the organic content that came out of that, like, that was like SEO gold, you know? And like, the brands that are really authentic about it, that was not even what they were looking for, but that's just a byproduct of their social impact, right? And I think, and brands, like really smart brand marketers recognize that. They're like, okay, we can't not participate in these discussions, right? Like, you know, like how do we stand for something? You don't have to participate in every discussion, right? Like, especially in a geopolitical climate like this, right? Like, I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm saying like, but there needs to be something your brand or your product or your service represents, right? Like, it needs to be like, you know, like you can't be lukewarm about everything, right? So I'm with you, man. Like, I think from a tactical level, from just a general, like where technology is at right now, like with the flooding of content that's happening, like authentic stories and how you connect to people in real life is ultimately like, that's the holy grail, right? Like, yeah. So anyways, your question again? Sorry, I got lost in that tangent.
No, it's great because it we'll stay on this tack for a minute more.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey of SEOs has been looking to optimize, you know, first it was things, you know, how does an SEO optimized for your site, you know, he looks at the individual keywords, you know, goalpost, money, like he looks for your money terms, like if it's a golf shop, you know, it's driver, it's tea, it's caddy. So it was individual things. And then Google got better, and then it wasn't so much about things as strings. Like, I need a golf club. I need a new golf bag.
Like, there are
concept. But then we're starting to dig deeper and like, what is the intent of somebody when they're doing a particular type of search? You know, if they're on their phone and they search golf or mini golf or golf or for golf course, are they looking for a mini golf course near them? Are they looking to watch videos while they're driving on their phone? Probably not so much. So Google is trying to divine, you know, and show search results that match the intent. So then when you're a site creator, when you're a marketer, you're as much trying to address the potential intent of the people that you want to reach, as opposed to just saying a bunch of stuff about your product. So it's as much about creating content for people where they live and exist, as it is about just being totally self-centric and saying everything that we can about our gloves. You know, we're selling golf gloves, and you know, it's much more like, hey, you can be active and totally kill it on the range. Come home and your hands are still soft, and you can play with your kids. You don't have to tear up your hands just because you had a good time on the links, you know? So, like, trying to address some of those concerns, understand the intent of your audience, is something more and more SEOs are trying to involve in their work. And I think this is another aspect of it. Where are people living in terms of society? What's important to them? Is it the cohesion of their family unit? Is it their connection to community? Is it their connection to nature? Is it their connection to a particular group of people that you can view as an additional layer of that conversation?
Yeah, I love all of that, man. That's such good insight. And yeah, I mean, what tells you more about someone than the causes that they believe in? You know, like their fundamental values, right? Like their fundamental things that they volunteer their time in, their you know, like their capacity. Like you know, like I always say this, like our greatest resource is our time, right? And what we're willing to give our time up for, like our weekends, you know, like whether that's going to church, whether that's volunteering at the soup kitchen, like those are the things that we make margin for, right? So like, to your point, what are the things that we are not saying is so important and so vital, right? But we, you know, we say it with our time. We say it with like our dedication, right? So I love all of that. Thanks for sharing that.
So tell me about the nonprofit side of what you're doing.
Yeah. So we talked about profit. Now let's talk about purpose, right? So, and I want to be very clear here. We're bridging the two. That's why we say profit with purpose, right? But I think there's something inherently broken with the social sector, right? And it's our society standard of the sector itself. We pigeonhole it and we give it these kind of golden handcuffs, right? We have capitalism here and then we have social impact. And they're given these two double standards and it's messed up, right? And because why? We believe nonprofits should be profitable. Because we believe that if you're going to solve some of the biggest problems in the world, you actually need resources to do it. Like, I absolutely believe hunger is a solvable problem in today's society. There's enough wealth in this world and enough talent in this world to figure out how hunger cannot be a problem anymore in our lifetime. But yet, somehow, we haven't figured it out, right? And then, you know, you look at giving in the economy. Giving has been fixed at about 2% GDP the last 40 years we've been tracking it. It hasn't grown. It hasn't, like, what is going on, right? Like, you look at every other economy and every other sector, it's grown massively, right? Giving, personal giving is about $320+ billion annually, right? That's excluding institutional funding like schools and hospitals. Just personal giving is at $320 billion, which is a massive amount. But again, it's been relatively fixed. My question is, why has it been fixed, right? You look at the public market, like the capitalistic market, publicly traded companies spend on average 20 to 50% of gross revenue, right? The total dollars that's brought into the entire company, they spend on marketing. The nonprofit sector spends on average less than 5%. So the question is, if we were to spend 15, 20, 25%, dare we say it, on marketing, can that $320 billion pie grow? That to me is a no-brainer. What is marketing? It's creating demand, right? We don't need more water companies. Like, yet somehow we every year we manage to get a number of water brands to come out. You know what I mean? Like, it's creating demand. It's creating relevance for something that is not given relevance. And what deserves more relevance and more attention than the biggest problems of our world, right? Like education, like hunger, like shelters, like whatever cause breaks your heart. It's like those are the things that should be eating up our feeds, our marketing, right? Not the consumption of things that, allow the social impact space to participate, where we don't allow that right now. Because there are other problems that are associated with that. Because then you look at society today and what people like, and I had the same viewpoint too, till I really looked into this problem myself. It's like, if I'm giving a dollar, we're always saying, like, make sure that that dollar goes to that child. Who's gonna give that dollar to that child? How is that dollar, like, how is that product or resource gonna get, like, you get a nonprofit to have overhead and it's demonized. You pay a CEO of a nonprofit, someone that's wicked smart and capable of solving big problems, you pay them $1 million and people will chastise that person. Right? It's better for someone that's young and talented to go work somewhere and build a product that might not benefit society at all and for them to donate a little bit than it is for them to go and like tackle the problem themselves. Right? Like I run into so many young people that are like, hey, I would love to like work in something that like speaks to my values, but I just can't afford it. I need to take this engineering job. I need it. Like, it's like there's something fucked up about an economy that is structured that way, right? Like, and I'm saying like it doesn't need to be like that, right? Like, and how we do that is like we want to lift up the nonprofit space, right? Like I started my first company when I was 14. I've had about seven different startups since then. I've never worked in the nonprofit space, but I've always been exposed to it through my personal belief and my families, and like my local churches. And for me, now that I want to pursue this mission, I have to be poor and struggle. It's like, no. Like, that's just, again, that dialogue is like, I don't believe in that scarcity mindset, right? And going back, I know I'm veering off here. Going back to the nonprofit sense is like, how do we then lift it up? So all of the technology, we're a MarTech company at the core of everything that we do. We build MarTech solutions to allow nonprofits to participate in the capitalistic market, right? So things like Google Ad Grant, for example, like is one of our products and services, AI tools that help them better communicate and market on social media platforms and emails and newsletters. We build turnkey solutions for nonprofits to, again, help them fundraise, help them become successful, but also increase their pie, right? Rather than fight over, there's a lot of brokenness in the industry where it's like this scarcity mindset. Nonprofits are constantly competing against each other. We're saying that that pie can grow.
That's awesome. I think it's much needed. I mean, I did AmeriCorps when I was a teenager and helped, navigate the extremely broken grant writing process. So there are so many steps in that that are just made needlessly difficult. And like, there are so many big-hearted, hard-working that around me that were just kind of stuck in this semi-poverty state of oh, we can't pay the volunteers too much, but we also want volunteers to come in and like sacrifice them. Like, if we want an army of volunteers, but we need them to sacrifice themselves. I'm like, why are we asking so much of those who want to give so much? Like, what is that weird martyry? It's like your reward is the good feeling you have in your belly, and that should sustain you because anything else is wicked. And I think we could do so much more if we paid so much more to people that were doing so much good.
Absolutely. And it's, again, it's a broken ideology, right? Like, and it's a broken system because to your point, why are we asking so much from the ones that are willing to give? Why can't we reward them, right? And why can't we create space and margin to enable people to participate, right? In like the biggest problems of the world, right? And And I think that's the narrative we're trying to change. And it's, you know, it's, we're swimming upstream, but I think there's a window of opportunity right now with this next generation where they're saying that they don't want to just work this endless job, right? Like they're willing to take sacrifices. But I always say this to my team too. It's like, we're here to thrive. We're not here to survive, right? We're here. And what does thriving look like? Like, I believe in a society where we can really, like, solve the biggest problems, where the smartest people can put and allocate their time, their greatest resource, their ability to solve these problems into the hardest problems of the world, right? Like, and we need resources to do it. And that's where the whole profit with purpose. Like, again, the capitalism, I believe in capitalism. It works. Like, you know, it's just reallocating the resources into the right places, right? You look at social media and, like, you know, like, just society standards, like, we're okay with people flaunting cars and flexing and doing all this stuff, and then you get a nonprofit person to do something like that, and it's like people are up in arms, right? Like we need to stop this double standard, right? Like, and I think that narrative is slowly changing now, right? It's a slow process, but you know, it's our job to have these type of conversations, right? For us to, you know, like, bring up these, like, why do you believe in what you believe in? Why do you have this idea or ideologies or mindset? I think those are, like, you know, it's why I have conversations like this every chance that we get, because, you know, it's one person's perspective change that can lead to 2 to 3. Like, you know, it's a small effort, but it makes, that's how change happens.
I agree. And I think with the ubiquity of, you know, there's never been more access to the market than right now. You can, I had the idea for, you know, doing trash cleanups, at the end of December. And within a week, I had my first sign up because I knew how to do digital marketing and access to audience. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Like, I can help somebody set up a website and be able to sell pretty much anything in a day or two at most. So, you know, the tools are there. There are so many pools of eyeballs and audience on social media, on channels, on forums, through search traffic. Like, there's so many different ways to reach people now. Like, let's go. Let's arm people to look at nonprofit not as something where you go and, like, you have to go to Africa. You have to, you know, travel to Mexico to make a difference. You don't. And, like, in fact, some of that's, like, the not good stuff, not good side of things. Like, you're creating exploitation upon it. Okay, well, how can I actually help? Here's how you help. Start your own nonprofit. Find something's important to you, and there's so many new ways to fund it. Let's do it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think we always say this, too. It's like, it's not our job to define what good is for someone, right? We, you know, again, we're cause agnostic in the sense that, like, it, to every individual, it's their personal journey, right? Like, you know, one person will love animals and they'll dedicate their lives to animals. And then you have another person that is all about, like, the environment, right? Like, I think everyone is different and that's what makes us unique. And we need to, but what I think what one thing that we're saying you can't do is nothing. Right? Like, you have to discover your good and you have to take action, right? Like, because I believe that our life is defined by our actions, not our intention, right? Like, I had this idea that I was going to make a shit ton of money and then I'll give back. But I was like, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, right? If my life ends today, like, what is my life? How did what I work on, what I value the most, which is my time, how is that reflective of my values, right? So I think that's the challenge here. It's like, for whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever breaks your heart, it's like, pursue that. However way, whether that's giving, whether that's volunteering, whether that's, you know, changing a narrative within your space, right? Or, like, supporting the charities that are in your space, like, amplifying their reach, right? But supporting them in a way where they succeed. Like, you know, I think there's something that all of us can do.
Give me a shout out. Tell me where people need to go and what you want them to do to get started.
So if you are a for-profit business and you believe that you can incorporate some type of nonprofit element into your business without setting up your own nonprofit, we would love to work with you, right? We offer physical sponsorship, tools, products, and sources, and it starts at $25 a month. It's as low lift as you can possibly like imagine, and then we can leverage that to help grow your brand, your sales, and whatever else, right? So if you're a for-profit business, find us on LinkedIn, reach out to us. We'll love to work with you. It doesn't matter if you're a local small cafe. We work with small businesses to Fortune 500 companies to build in some type of social impact element. If you are a nonprofit that is in need of resources, particularly in the marketing space, whether that's Google Ads, email marketing, communications, donors, AI tools to help you streamline your marketing, please reach out to us. We have a number of products and services that are either free or we make it as cost affordable as possible. And we specialize in the social impact space, right? So you're not having to test out 20 different AI tools. We've done all the legwork for you. We've optimized it and made it a turnkey solution for you to be able to run and run your marketing and communications as effectively as possible. So also find us on LinkedIn. We have a ton of content on there. So you can find out a little bit more about our mission. We have a whole network of businesses and nonprofits that we work with, and we'd love to connect with you guys.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Andy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate the conversation.